I open the Senate Rules Committee for June 19, 2009. We are going to be doing a review of executive appointments today and making a decision what recommendation we will make to the full Senate. I'm going to... I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Heather Van Meter to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Ms. Van Meter, could you please come forward, give us just a brief presentation on why you want to serve and a little bit about your background, and if there are any questions, we'll do questions afterwards.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name's Heather Van Meter. You probably have seen the materials, although you've probably been getting a lot of materials lately, so I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at everything you get. I'm an attorney in Portland. I'm a native of Kaiser, third-generation Kaiserite, and am a lawyer practicing in civil litigation in Portland, and was interested in just trying to serve my state a little bit and saw this opportunity arise and applied for it, and apparently the governor liked something that he saw, so that's how I got here.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Van Meter?
Yes.
Yes. Senator Atkinson.
Thank you. Heather, I'm concerned about the role of lobbyists and how they affect public policy and how they affect this commission. Because it's been my experience, at least historically, if you look back over the 30 years that this has been going on, at least this commission and this issue has been out, the pendulum always swings that says politicians are obviously guilty of something, we just got to catch them being guilty of something. And so we've got this, in my estimation, this gotcha mentality of all politicians are hiding something, we just got to catch them. And that there's this gaping hole of accountability of professional lobbyists that just goes without saying. What are your views on that?
Chair Devlin, Senator Atkinson, I actually worked at the legislature when I was in law school, and also worked for Oregon Farm Bureau. And so I've kind of seen both sides of those things. That has not at all been my experience. My experience in those two capacities, at least, was that everyone that I knew was trying to serve the state of Oregon in the best way that they knew how, and that was true of the legislators and like I said, the Farm Bureau folks that I knew. So I don't know that it in the state of Oregon that gotcha situation is really the case. It may be that, you know, if you went down to New Orleans or Chicago or something like that, that's a bigger issue. But that's just not been my experience here. And as I said, I'm a third and fourth generation Oregonian. So I think that, you know, the law that the Government Ethics Commission is charged with implementing is not easy for everyone to navigate through. And I think that probably a good part of what the commission would be doing, especially with the new Senate Bill 30, is helping people navigate through the requirements of the law so that, you know, they can continue to serve their communities and you know, folks like you can continue to serve the state while complying with the law, especially as it's been recently amended.
Thank you. One more question.
Yes.
Do you think lobbyists should have greater reporting?
I don't know, is the short answer. I think that it would be hard for somebody not having had an experience with the Government Ethics Commission yet to have a solid opinion on that. I know that at least 10 years ago when when I was a law clerk for the Farm Bureau, that they had, the lobbyists had reporting, some reporting requirements here and registration here. I just don't know what the current status of that is, and don't know how that plays out in reality these days. It's been a long time since I've been here, so that's all I could say about that.
Thanks.
Okay. Any additional questions? Thank you very much for coming here today. We will go through all the public hearings first, and then we'll come back and take action on the appointments.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll close that public hearing, and I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Linda Sherman to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. Ms. Sherman? Ms. Sherman?
Yes.
You're... You're here before the Senate Rules Committee. I'm Senator Devlin, and I'm here with my other committee members. If you could just give us 1 or 2 minutes about your background and why you want to serve on the State Board of Psychologist Examiners.
Thank you. Chair Devlin, Senator Farioli, Senator Burdick, Senator Atkinson, and Senator Metzger. My name is Linda Sherman. I reside in Gaston, Oregon, and my mailing address is Post Office Box 790, Gaston, Oregon 97119. My interest in serving as a member of the Board of Psychologist Examiners is outlined, I think, specifically in my interest form, which I understand that you have. I would like to give back to my profession after enjoying 25 years of a wonderful career. I also feel that the years of experience I have may serve me well to assist others either entering the profession anew or challenged to maintain the high standards of this practice. As my interest form also states, I practice in what I call the high-risk area of my profession, working with families of high conflict, struggling to do what's right in the best interest of their children. In this difficult area, it is very hard to please the interests of adults while protecting the rights of children. I would like my years of experience traversing these difficult waters to profit a board served to assist psychologists serving in this capacity. Finally, I was the recipient of a board complaint in 2007. From beginning to end, the process of this complaint spanned a 12-month period. It was dismissed. However, the process was both personally and financially costly. I believe that what I learned from this experience might profit psychologists who are charged with maintaining their competence while managing the distress of responding to a complaint. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Sherman? Yes. Senator Metzger.
Just a comment. Rick Metzger, I know Ms. Sherman, and I think she's outstanding in her profession, and just want to thank her for being willing to serve the state.
Okay. Any additional questions? Seeing none, Ms. Sherman, we will go through all of our public hearings and take action on these appointments a little bit later in the meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Naomi Kaufman Price to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. I think I've probably explained the routine here enough. So
thank
please
you,
just begin whenever you're ready.
Chairman Devlin, Senators, thank you for your time this morning. I've prepared a statement. Feel free to cut me off if you are short of time. None of us wants to get bad news when we're in the hospital, whether that word is cancer or paralysis or incurable. Each of us harbors a private worst fear. All of us can agree, however, that the one word no one of us wants to hear is oops. As in oops, we left something behind when we performed your surgery. More than 40 Oregonians hear that each year. More than 50 actually heard that last year. As in oops, we didn't give you an antibiotic when we should have. National data show Oregon ranks towards the bottom in following standards for proper pre-surgery antibiotic use, putting patients at higher risk of infection. As in oops, we neglected to sterilize the equipment we used in your colonoscopy, and now you have HIV or hepatitis C. That may have happened at a VA hospital in Oregon. It certainly happened dozens, perhaps possibly hundreds of times at VA hospitals nationwide, we learned just this week. We can think of parallels for nursing homes and pharmacies, residents getting bed sores, say, or someone getting the wrong prescriptions. These things don't just happen. They occur because our healthcare institutions have too often lacked cultures of safety. At their worst, they result in deaths. At the very least, they result in increased misery and costs. More than $19,000 each in extra hospital costs alone for a preventable infection, according to the June 4th New England Journal of Medicine. As Oregon and the nation pay closer attention to evidence-based medicine, making sure we get the proper, most cost-effective treatments for what ails us, we must also pay just as much attention that those treatments are delivered safely. whether in a hospital, in a nursing home, or at our neighborhood drugstore. That's the guiding light of the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. As a consumer, I see my role on the Commission's board as being an advocate for stronger information sharing, particularly with the public, for assuring adherence to the Commission's reporting requirements, and to increasing the participation of retail pharmacies, now the weakest link in Oregon's system. The Patient Safety Commission already has helped save Oregonians' lives and reduced harm by helping healthcare providers learn best practices. I look forward to being part of the process to improve the quality of care even more. And I have for you the latest progress report of the Commission, just for your information. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Yes, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You may have dealt with this earlier. I had to be out of the room for a moment, so please excuse me if you have already testified to the issue of hospital-acquired infections.
Mm-hmm. I haven't. The Oregon has started a process that mandates reporting of hospital-acquired infections. The first reports will start being issued in July. These are a huge problem in Oregon and nationally. They cost tens of thousands of dollars a year. As I said, per patient, it's estimated at $19,000 in extra hospital costs alone per patient, to say nothing of increased misery and hospital time and increased death rate. So Oregon is starting a program, not through the Patient Safety Commission, although the commission is part of that, but mandating reporting of infections, and it's really quite rigorous. It's not, it goes through every department in the hospital, and it will also involve encouraging, state can't mandate, but encouraging all staff to have flu shots, pneumonia vaccine, whatever, and these reports will be available to the public. That's still in process on exactly how that will be. So that's going to be starting in July. Those reports will be made available.
Following, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm gratified to hear that the commission is going to be interested and involved in that issue. Two things that would concern me are sometimes the hospital-acquired infections are only evident after the hospital discharge.
Yes.
And so a different physician actually treats than the admitting physician or the surgeon or the the hospital staff. And so the feedback loop from those hospital-acquired infections may not be direct or reportable because the doctor that's treating is, you know, unlikely to make the report, you know, connected with the hospital stay. Or if they do that, it might be such a convoluted issue that people are not certain, well, gee, that infection could have been acquired anywhere else besides the hospital. Yeah. And the other thing, I guess, is the issue of how those things will be reported and will they be available to Oregonians by a reporting system that's posted online or published in some other manner.
Right. The State Health Division is working on that. As to that feedback loop on where the person got the infection, there is a list of specific infections, so that if you've had a knee replacement, say, and develop an infection and you're seeing your physician for follow-up, or you go to your family physician and you have an infection, that will have to be reported back to the health division. So I'm sorry, I can't give each specific. Those rules are still being developed. They have to be developed by the first of next month. And as for the exact reporting method, there is work in progress. Again, this is something that is being developed as we speak, literally, through the health division and with the help of the Patient Safety Commission. The exact method of getting this information public is being developed. It will likely be online. The exact method for doing this is still being developed. This is, again, work in progress. And I'd be happy to get back to you on that. It's very, very important.
Mr. Chairman, it's my impression that hospitals and doctors being very concerned about their reputation and standing in the community, particularly from an institutional basis, will resist the publication of that information. But I believe that the things that get reported and measured are the things that we have control over changing. So I hope you'll be very aggressive about making sure the information is actually published.
Right. There will be a requirement for reporting. There is a flip side to this that, of course, we want patient data that can identify an individual patient to remain confidential. It's really none of my business that whether you were in the hospital for a certain procedure. Personally, it is my business if the hospital or some other provider did something that resulted in an infection. So that's a balance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Price, did you write your own statement?
Yes, I did.
See, Mr. Chair, I am very proud to count Ms. Price is a very good friend whom I met years ago when she was a reporter for the Oregonian.
Editor, thank you.
Reporter and an editor. An editor, then a reporter.
I will not diminish your level of support for this committee.
See, she's still editing.
No, I would say that was,
I'm chiding her.
That
because
was
I'm,
correction, because. Mr. Chair.
Anyway, I think
in that capacity,
she was always notable for her thoroughness and for her diligence. And I think those are the characteristics that we need to see on this board. And I can see you've already done a considerable amount of research. So, Mr. Chair, I will be even more enthusiastic than usual about this particular appointment.
Thank you, Senator Burdick.
Any more questions? Well, thank you very much for appearing here today. You seem very well prepared for
and
this
And Senator Farioli, I'd be happy to get back to you on that if you'd like.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Close that public hearing. I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Glenda Melton to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission.
Chairperson Devlin, members of the committee, I'm Glenda Melton. My address is 3425 Balsam Drive South, Salem, Oregon. I wish to represent the Student Assistance Commission. Kids are my passion. I was in the field of education for 38 years, and I still serve as a hearing officer for the Salem-Keizer School District and give kids who have been in trouble with drugs or alcohol or weapons their due process. I am quite acutely aware of how much it costs for young men and women to obtain a college or university education at this time. I am a grandmother who has signed more than one student loan, so that my granddaughter can get a lower interest rate on her loans. Distributing the limited resources will be challenging and probably frustrating, but what a great opportunity to help in a different role, and I'd like to help in any way I can. And I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the panel? Hearing and seeing none, thank you very much for your appearance today. We're going to go to Shannon Applegate, trustee for the State Library, and I think this appearance is by telephone.
Hello, Ms. Applegate?
Yes, this is Shannon Applegate.
You're before the Senate Rules Committee, and we are here with Vice Chair Farioli, Senator Atkinson, Senator Burdick, and Senator Metzger. Chair Devlin will be back in just a moment. But please go ahead and give us a brief statement about why you would like to serve for the State Board of Libraries.
Thank you. I'd like to apologize for my inability to be there today. I'm down on the Southern Oregon coast working on a novel. And thank you for letting me do this at home. I'm especially concerned with our libraries in the state of Oregon. As a researcher and writer, I've used them all of my adult life, but the literacy of children and the continued access to libraries and the enrichment of their services in the rural communities, I'm from a little town called Yonkala, is of special importance to me. It seems to be a very good way to assist by, if I am recommended to be a trustee of the state library.
Thank you. Ms. Applegate, do we have any questions from the committee? Well, Ms. Applegate, I'm certain that all of us would love to be on the Oregon coast helping you work on your novel, or perhaps even being a character in your novel.
There's still a chance.
Always a chance. Thank you, Ms. Applegate. That would conclude your appearance before the committee.
Thank you for speaking with me, and thank you for your service to the state.
And Ms. Applegate, we will take action on this nomination later today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rachel Piliot. Oh, thank you very much. Please come forward. I butchered your name, ma'am. Would you please pronounce it for the committee?
Yeah. Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Rachel Piliot. Rhymes with the Iliad. The librarians love that part. I reside in Senator Burdick's district in Portland, Oregon. I'm here to seek your support today for the student seat on the OHSU Board of Directors. As of about an hour ago, I finished my first year of medical school at OHSU, assuming I passed the test. And eventually, I'd like to practice medicine in Oregon with a focus on women's health. This is my second time before this committee. I had the privilege of serving on the Oregon University System Board in the student position in 2003 and 2004 when I was a student at University of Oregon. Although I have much to learn about the daily operations and strategic planning at OHSU, I hope to contribute to the board by providing the unique perspective of really living and breathing life on the Hill and coming into contact with every level of operation there, not just as a student. It's my goal to continue expanding on OHSU's reputation as an academic center of excellence and medical excellence, and to help address the growing need for healthcare access in Oregon. I thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Could you tell me what your what Oregon Health Sciences should look like reputationally 10 years from now?
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee. I think that the academic standing is important for the physicians that we're hoping to recruit, and I think by recruiting folks to OHSU, we can help to maintain a population of physicians that are highly qualified in the state of Oregon. I think our reputation as a primary care center, as we're looking at healthcare reform that will hopefully plug into the broad base of the need for a primary care in Oregon, is important, and we hope to continue that. And beyond that, we're hoping to work on making healthcare more affordable, but I don't know that OHSU will have the answer to that in 10 years specifically.
I think that Oregon Health Science University needs to do a much better job of telling their story to all of Oregon. What do you think about that?
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee. I think that's very fair. I think we're working hard on trying to make opportunities available for students who I think are good ambassadors as future providers to work in rural communities in Oregon outside of just Portland and the Main Hill campus. I think it's important to tell the story of OHSU to potential patients and also to supporters. It's the number one employer in Portland. It's a big economic engine, and I think that there's a lot of support, but that could always be added upon.
Can I just say that I'm working on a couple more surgeries, and I finally get that tram named after my family.
Okay. Any more questions? Yes, Senator Ferrioli.
Can you tell me anything about the Area Hospital Education Consortium, the AHEC program?
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, I'm afraid I cannot.
Okay, well, then that gives me an opportunity, Mr. Chair. That would offer you and other doctoral students an opportunity to do their residency in their rural community. So I just commend that program to you and ask you to look at that program. It's an opportunity to practice and live and work in a in a community outside of the Portland mainstream and away from the Hill. It's one of the mechanisms that we use to recruit physicians to rural Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I'm known for actually destroying people's names, so I'll try here. Ms. Pilliot, have you commented this morning about you rushing through a final in order to get here?
It was indeed rushed.
So I was just asked to put that on the record.
The irony is, she just rushed through something, and Naomi just testified that somebody might rush through something. I mean, we might have a huge problem here. We might have to advert. I mean, there might be a future colonoscopy that's in real jeopardy here.
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, if it helps, the test included information on nosocomial and iatrogenic infections, and so we were well informed about the consequences of hospital
acquired
infection.
Would it be possible for the chairman of the committee to write a small memo offering extra credit for her appearance? Possibly making up those one or two points that she might have lost because she was in a hurry.
I think even if she rushed, she probably didn't even miss one or two points.
I think by the ability to pronounce that word perfectly, I think she trumps the dais, our ability to pronounce her name.
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would just like to inform my constituents that this is the end of the session, and what you are seeing here is a little bit of rumminess.
And you're also seeing people that are hoping that the session ends within about a week, and that the days are getting incredibly long. And frustrations are getting a little bit higher.
So and Mr. Chairman, you're also seeing people that know that the duty they do on this committee with this particular group of applicants is the best duty they'll see all day today.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. So thank you very much for appearing, and thank you for being willing to serve the citizens of Oregon.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next is Ms. White. Close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Keith White to the Oregon Medical Board. Mr. White?
Yes, sir.
Mr. White, you're here before the Rules Committee. Basically, I just need you to tell us in a minute or two about your background and why you want to serve on the Medical Board, and then we'll see if there are any questions.
Okay. Well, I emailed everybody, I think, a note. Just to kind of summarize this, I'm a physician. I'm a family physician. I'm 59 years old, and I finished my residency when I was 29 years old. So I've got 30 years since I'm a board certification. I practice in a little town in Independence, Oregon, but I practice in a big hospital, Salem Hospital. I do obstetrics and many other pretty broad spectrum of family medicine. I've actually been a consultant for the board since 1996. So I've reviewed a lot of cases for them, and typically they'll have a consultant question the doctor who's in front of the board at the hearing. And I've done a lot of this kind of work. I've been in the executive cabinet, Salem Hospital Credentials Committee, and I've done a lot of chart review on other physicians, and I suppose I'd say that started back in the early 80s when I was a consultant for Social Security Disability. So as far as working for the board, being on the board, to me it's besides a chance to serve the citizens of Oregon, it's also very educational for me. I mean, I learned what not to do, you know, and what to do. Board, so it's a very good experience for me, and it is a chance to make sure that we do our best as a profession. I'll stop there.
Okay. Any questions for Dr. White? Dr. White, we have no questions at this time. We're in public hearing. We'll close the public hearing, and we'll come back and take action on the appointments a little bit later in this meeting, but very much appreciate you being on the phone here today, and very much appreciate your willingness to serve the people of Oregon.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sorry I can't be there in person. Take care. Bye-bye, and thank you for all the good work that you do for us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
your service. Bye-bye.
Okay. I will close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Matt Donegan to the State Board of Higher Education. Yes, please proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. I'd like to start by saying that I consider it an honor to be nominated for this position, and I appreciate your consideration. My reasons for wanting to serve on this board are really...
Mr. Donegan, could you please say who you are on the record?
I'm sorry. Okay. My name is Matthew William Donegan. My reasons for wanting to serve on the board are rooted mostly in my desire to serve education, serve the cause of education here in the state, and I'm very eager to dedicate my time and service to the university system. I bring a background of being a private business owner, a co-founder and co-president of a large forest industry company. Moved here to Oregon about 4 years ago, and since joining, since coming to Oregon, I have served on the board of OFRI, the Oregon Forest Resources Institute, the Oregon Innovation Council, and most recently the Global Warming Commission. So I have experience serving on other boards and commissions, and would like to bring that service and experience to bear here. My primary interest in this position is basically as a business owner and as a father and as a an interested citizen here in the state. I really want to see our universities thrive into the future and promote economic development and community development.
Questions for Mr. Donegan?
Yes.
Yes. Senator Atkinson.
Have you traveled to all the regional colleges?
I have... Yes, not in this capacity, but I have visited all of the regional colleges. All of the state universities since I've been here.
Well, what is your view of what should happen to the regional universities in the future?
I think that's obviously a an important question, and in my due diligence for this position, it's a question that I hear get raised quite a bit. And not to avoid the question, but I would say I'm really not yet adequately familiar with all of the issues to render an informed opinion right now. But I'm aware that it's going to be an issue for the in front of the board.
What do you think the university system could be doing better?
Well, I would say one area that comes to mind is, I think, as you look across other Western states, they do have signature comprehensive research universities in their urban areas. And as I look at Portland as being an area that's got an outstanding medical research facility there with OHSU and a very good school, as well as with Portland State, I think an opportunity would be to increase our research presence in the Portland area. I think as you look at Western, obviously a very good teaching university with a good niche there in a rural town in which I've got an office. I think they're doing very well. But I think funding is going to be a continued challenge for all of our universities.
Additional questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think we do a good job of graduate schools at the public universities?
I would say do a good job. I would say by measured by the number of patents that we're issuing, I would say that we would do well to improve our our innovation coming out of our research centers. I'm most familiar with the forestry school at Oregon State, and it is top rated in the country, and I think deservedly so. But I would say that, and going forward, improving the quality of our graduate programs, particularly in areas of information and technology, has got to be a priority for the state.
One last question.
Yes.
A tremendous amount of high school seniors go out of Oregon to go to college and they never come back for a variety of reasons, cost, reputation, politics, and the need to get away from their parents. I don't think the last one's that important, but as a member of this board, how are you going to turn that around?
Well, I think the emphasis on graduating students with quality jobs here in the state that is integrated within our state's economic development strategies is really going to be key to that. I think what we need to really work with the business community to see what types of graduates are needed and are going to be needed, and we need to tailor our graduates, our education to meet those needs.
Senator Atkinson, okay. Question came up in terms of Senator Atkinson's questions and the issue of regionals. Senator Farioli and I have had discussions at times about the reality that in Eastern Oregon there are many good public school systems, and if you see their test results for their students, they are also very good in many cases. But the number of students going on to higher education is significantly less than it is west of the Cascades. I think there's one of the issues about regionals to me is that we have a limited campus over in Bend, and we have the state's one public four-year institution in Eastern Oregon. I really actually feel that that number would even diminish further if it wasn't for the fact that, that Eastern wasn't there or was no longer operating, or that the Bend campus wasn't operating. What responsibility do you think the university system has to improving the number of students that are from the eastern portion of the state that go on to higher education and maintaining opportunities for them and the impacts that no one is actually talking? There are a lot of us from both sides of the aisle that would be very opposed to actually closing Eastern Oregon under any circumstances. But what do you think is the board's responsibility and higher education's responsibility to see that those young people that are in Eastern Oregon have more opportunity for higher education?
I think the comments about closing Eastern Oregon, I have not heard those widely expressed as I've been doing my due diligence on this position. And I think the main argument for keeping Eastern going and successful is its service to the Eastern Oregon communities. And I think there's a consensus, and I agree with it, that without Eastern, that you would see a further decline in the number of Eastern Oregon high school students that go on to college. So I agree that there is a responsibility, and I think that certainly needs to factor into our decisions about Eastern going forward.
Any additional questions? Thank you very much for coming here today, and we'll take action on the appointments just a little bit later.
Thank you.
I will close that public hearing, and I will open a public hearing on Margaret Lynn Howe to the Board of Examiners for Nursing Home Administrators. Hello?
Hello, this is Lynn Howe.
Hi, Ms. Lynn Howe. You're before the Rules Committee. The basic process here is we are in public hearing. We just need you to talk for a couple of minutes about your background and why you want to serve on the the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators.
Okay, and thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me and also for letting me speak to you at long distance sitting from my backyard while you're in Chambers. So I appreciate that. You have my background there. I'm a retired nurse, worked for 25 years in nursing and healthcare and occupational health, and I'm also now just recently appointed to the Rogue Valley Council of Government Senior and Disability Advisory Committee. So one of my concerns really is in the seniors field and residents and institutions, and I think that the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators is an important organization that helps us protect the residents in those facilities, and I think my background will help with that. And I also have a lot of personal background in helping my mother and my father-in-law through years of a series of caregivers, assisted living centers, senior centers, and nursing homes. And I think really their heritage to me as a nurse and as a public person is to be able to speak and reveal the experiences they've had and to talk about and be able to help examiners of nursing home administrators understand the really important qualities of a nursing home administrator and how much difference a really good administrator can make in the life of the residents of nursing homes. So I think of my mom who died last year at 94, I think her heritage to me would be go out, let people know how important it is, how a manager and administrator can make a difference. They can have a staff that makes a difference, and that can change people's lives and enhance their lives in their older years. So I think I bring a personal message and also professional background, and I would be honored to be serving on the committee and maybe make some difference for other people.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for being on the phone today, and thank you for being willing to serve the citizens of Oregon. We're in public hearing now. I'll close that in a little bit, and a little bit later in the meeting, we'll take action on the appointments.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Okay. Now, close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Eric Quimps and Dan Thorndike to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board.
We're going to have Eric on the phone first.
Mr.
Good morning. This is Eric Quimps.
Yes, you're before the Rules Committee. If you could just talk to us for a minute or two about your background and why you want to serve on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board.
Okay, thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to testify this morning. My name is Eric Quimps. I'm at 73239 Confederated Way in Pendleton, Oregon, 97801. I'm representing the Confederated Tribes of the Uintah Indian Reservation, Department of Natural Resources. I'm seeking appointment because I'd like to assist the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board develop its long-term strategy. I'd love to be a part of facilitating and providing responsible and critical reviews of watershed enhancement proposals. And I would like to include tribal, cultural, and natural resource values for its goals and processes. I think those could both be enriched by the tribe's values. I'd also like to be a part of recognizing citizen participation in the board's programs. I offer over 20 years of experience in natural resource management, including 8 and the U.S. Forest Service, where I worked in forestry, wildlife, fisheries, range, fire, and NEPA planning as part of a career development track. I spent 10 years as a wildlife biologist for the Umatilla tribes, managing wildlife mitigation projects, specifically watershed enhancement projects, and 5 years as the tribe's natural resources director. And I currently oversee 7 programs, including water resources, fisheries, wildlife, range, forestry, cultural resources, and environmental planning. And if there are any questions, I understand you've had a chance to review my interest form. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those now.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Okay. Seeing no questions, thank you for your interest in serving. We're in public hearing now. We'll take action on these appointments a little bit later in the meeting. Again, thank you for your willingness to serve the people of Oregon. Okay.
Getting the last person on the phone right now.
because this practical is not really going to be ready to explain. Okay, I'm going to transfer you over right now.
Hi, Mr. Thorndike. Mr. Thorndike. Mr. Thorndike. Might have lost him, I don't know.
Come in, please.
Hi, Mr. Thorndike.
Hello, yes.
Hi, you're here before the Rules Committee. If you could just tell us in a minute or two about your background a little bit and why you want to serve on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and then we'll see if there are any questions.
Certainly, yes. I'm Dan Thorndike. I was born in and I work in Medford, and I reside in Ashland. I've actually had the pleasure of serving on OWEP before, representing the Oregon Water Resource Commission, which I chaired at the time. I'm looking forward to returning to OWEP as a public at-large member for both three primary reasons. One, to help provide for Oregon jobs at the grassroots level. Second, to benefit, protect, and restore Oregon's environment, which I've had the pleasure of enjoying my whole life. And three, to leverage as much federal and outside private money as possible to help accomplish these two objectives. I believe that OWEP has been basically successful in helping to support both Oregon's environment and its economy so far, and just appreciate the opportunity to carry this success forward. Thank you for this opportunity to make a few comments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Thorndike? Seeing none, thank you very much for being willing to be here today via the telephone. We are in public hearing now. I will close the public hearing soon, and we'll take action on all the appointments that we have been reviewing today.
Great. Thank you very much.
Close public hearing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a procedural question, and
yes,
perhaps the governor's appointment secretary could answer the question.
Yes, if you'd come forward. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm searching my memory banks and coming up with nothing, but I'm curious about a member who serves a full 2 years on a commission in an appointed or in a designated appointment who reaches the end of their allowable service, which is 2 terms, and then who comes back in another appointment role to the same committee. Is that a protocol that has been used before, or does that possibly fly in the face of the idea that 2 terms are per commissioner per commission?
If I might comment, there may be some prohibitions, and we'll hear from the governor's staff in some areas. I don't know if there are, but it's been the practice of governors. But I have seen exceptions to the practice in terms of even continuance beyond the 2 terms. If you'd like to comment.
Nancy Gosserain from the Governor's Office of Executive Appointments, Chair Devlin, members of the committee, and Senator Ferrioli specifically. He was serving, in Dan Thorndike's case, he was serving on the board by virtue of his position on the Board of Forestry. It wasn't an appointment that we, the governor, made to that. There are several positions on that board that are by virtue of the other committees on which they serve. And so he served in that capacity. He was such a good member and was helped them so much, and the governor felt that having him continue then in some capacity would be very valuable to that board. And so we chose then to move him as a public member to the board. He was not a previous governor's appointment.
Further question, Mr.
Yes.
Chair. And how long was his appointment in the previous iteration? Was it a full 2 cycles?
I can't recall. I'd have to go pull the roster up and old rosters and take a look. I could do that if you want me to.
I'll take that answer offline, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No, I will look that
Mr.
up.
Mr. Chairman, I just make the point because the idea that you want continuity is why we allow and possibly even encourage two terms.
Right.
But there's also an understanding that two terms is all an appointee gets. So I'd be curious to know if this is some change in protocol, or it's a protocol that we've observed before, or does it run into the issue of a limitation that perhaps we've inadvertently
articulating
extended. And please understand, this has nothing to do with the caliber or quality of the applicant service, just my desire to keep the procedures in mind and the protocols correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And if you prepare any response for Ferrioli, for Senator Ferrioli, please give the committee the response also.
Yes, certainly.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, absolutely. And I hope the chair realizes I would share it myself.
Yes. Okay, this is my favorite part of the meeting.
Punch it, Richard.
I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Heather Van Meter to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Rachel Pilliod to the OHSU Board of Directors to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Matthew Donegan to the State Board of Higher Education to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment and reappointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. Closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Shannon Applegate to the trustees of the State Library to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. Closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Keith White to the Oregon Medical Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Margaret Howe to the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Naomi Kaufman Price to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors to the Senate floor with recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Linda Sherman on the State Board of Psychologist Examiners to the Senate floor with recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Glenda Melton to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission to the Senate floor with recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Eric Kwemps and Dan Thorndike to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. That concludes our work for today. My understanding is...
Chair?
Yes.
I didn't hear all that. Could you please repeat that?
I could give you the script.
Does that conclude our work for today and for 2009?
It concludes the work of this committee in terms of our work for today and in terms of whether or not this committee will be closed. It will be closed officially today, but we all know that the Rules Committee is subject to being opened by the Senate President at any time he or she, in this case he, chooses to do so.
That was very delicate.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, is it your intention to carry the nominations en bloc?
It is my intention yesterday, when Senator Atkinson came in late.
What?
I assigned all the reappointments to Senator Atkinson if he would be so nice to carry them.
Charge the
bill. And Senator Burdick would carry all of the appointments for the people that actually appeared here in person. Obviously, if anyone wants any of the appointments broken out separately, I will do that once they come to the Senate floor, and then we'll decide upon a carrier. In most cases, it would probably be I would carry any that are broken out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would like to carry higher ed, if possible.
I don't know if you have a higher ed in the reappointments.
We just had one.
About reappointments. Well, you can speak to the higher ed.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, with that, we're concluded for today and maybe for the session, but we still do have a signee die resolution.
Yes.